Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning,
church family. Are we encouraged this morning?
That's good.
Let me set the mark here so we can see everybody can see everybody on streaming land here. We have certain marks here for the podium, and I'm there. Well, I just want to encourage you. If you recall last week at the end of service, we had a wonderful time of recommitting our lives to Jesus, to the Lord. Pastor Dick asked us to respond at the end of service and just place our burdens before the Lord last week and ask him to give us a restart, if you will. That seems to be the buzzword these days, in these times, the word restart. Well, every day's a restart with Jesus. You know, we always start fresh, because maybe the day before wasn't as successful, or maybe it was still a great day, but still, every day we need to restart. So if you didn't see the service or were not here at service last week, may I suggest that you go back and look at last Sunday's service on the Facebook page or the YouTube channel, and especially at the end there, and even take some time at the end, as Pastor Dick suggested, to just recommit yourself, restart. And that kind of leads into what the theme of this morning's message is God's direction at moving ahead. And the kingdom of God is about that, always moving ahead, always proceeding. Although we do get in ruts, don't we? A rut is defined as a habit or pattern of behavior that has become dull, unproductive, and hard to change. Yikes, yes, I agree. Yikes, when I think of yikes is... we develop sometimes a ho-hum attitude and we just can't seem to move ahead, and we're to the point where the highlight of our day maybe is watching Family Feud or Jeopardy. I mean, let's put things into perspective, but that isn't what the kingdom of God is about. We're about moving ahead at all times. But routine is good. If you think about God creating the universe, it was a routine. He knew in 6 days exactly how he was going to create the earth and create us as well as part of that package. And there was order to it. But then if you look at each day in succession, he knew something was missing. So he still progressed after the first day, after the second day, after the third day, after the fourth day, after the fifth day, after the sixth day. He knew something had to be added to it. And of course, at the end, he created us in his image, because he needed somebody to relate to. So everything that he created could come under our heading and we could enjoy it with him as well. So the kingdom of God, as I've said, as I opened up with, is about moving ahead. What worked yesterday may not be in line with what God has in mind for us today. And that, I think that's the refreshing thing about being a part of the kingdom of God and the Church of Jesus Christ, is always expect the unexpected. And sometimes that keeps us on our toes, and sometimes that allows God to move us ahead. So my question is, as I was preparing this particular teaching, is what good came from the pandemic? That's what I asked myself. And the one thing I said to myself, and God revealed to me, was a time to step back and reflect on how God wants the Church of Jesus Christ to progress. It was the whole restart thing. How do we pull up our bootstraps and move ahead? And we are. We are moving ahead as a church. I see it with our own congregation and some of the other people that I meet along the way too. So God has a plan for all of us to progress with our sights set on his heavenly promises. And that's what it comes down to, is looking for the eternal while we're here on earth, enjoying what God has given us to work with and sharing the gospel with others and building each other up within our congregation. But he's also given us direction. And I'm going to commit this teaching to prayer, and then we're going to look at some of the directions that I believe that we should use in this process of moving ahead with our Lord. So dear Heavenly Father, we commit this teaching to you. We just love you and thank you. We know that you love us and want us to progress with you. And we just ask for your mighty hand on this congregation and the other congregations, Bible-believing congregations within our Oswego community. In your name, amen. Well, we start with forget the past. And we look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. In it, Isaiah writes, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams and in the wasteland." So I came across this commentary by a West Coast pastor by the name of David Jeremiah, who's also a radio pastor as well. And it's from a book titled 31 Days to Happiness. And the book is a breakdown on the book of Ecclesiastes, believed to be written by King Solomon. It's one of the books of wisdom in the Old Testament. And this one paragraph from this chapter called Time to Move On really struck me about living for today, and I like the way Pastor Jeremiah explains it. He references Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions." And then he writes in his paragraph here, "The good old days is a state of mind that has no coordinates in the real world. It's just a few blocks south of the pot of gold at Rainbow's End. It's another few blocks east of that other entrancing fantasy land, what might have been." Yes, how many times have we said to ourselves, "Well, what might have been if we," and then we leave it at that. "Your kids will someday sit back in their easy chairs, sighing over this very moment, crowning it as the new good old days. It's hard to imagine because today never seems like anything special to the people inhabiting it. Today is always just short of yesterday's glory, just shy of tomorrow's promise. But today is all we have. It holds all the stakes. Today is the only day we can directly make an impact, and all our hopes of a better life lie right there in the calendar box where you stand. The day marked today." Today, October the 10th. It's on my paper, that's how I know. Anyways, when Isaiah was writing this, his fellow countrymen, the Israelites, were in exile in Babylon. They were taken away from their home country, and it was their own hand. If you go back and you read through the book of Chronicles and some of the Old Testament books as well, you will see that they just allowed themselves to let foreign people come in and just take over their country. And the end result was they end up going in exile for 70 years, which God had prophesied through his prophets. So they're in exile in Babylon, and Isaiah is telling them that you can't look at what happened in the past. It's time to move ahead. Some mistakes were made. You know, hopefully we all learned from our mistakes, but as humans, we do not. We have to trust God to show us, you know, what we need to do to move ahead. So he's encouraging his fellow countrymen, even in this wilderness and this wasteland that you're in, there is hope and there is a future for you. And we know the end result, that they do come back to their homeland and start rebuilding. And I think that's what God wants us to do. Sometimes we have these wastelands we fall into, whatever it may be, a family situation or a work situation or an economic situation, and it's time, we'd have to take the time to trust God to move us back into that. And it's not always our own time. You know, 70 years is a long time to be away from your home country, and I'm sure, you know, people had passed, there were babies born, and this whole generation is starting up again. But I think God has given us the grace today just to move ahead where we are today, as David Jeremiah said on this October 10th, an opportunity for us to move today into tomorrow in a new way. And God always wants us to look ahead, see beyond the trees in the forest. I love that phrase because I get caught there all the time. Sometimes something's blocking me from seeing ahead, and it's just the current circumstance. But God's direction is always there, isn't it? Easier said than done, I know. But we have to trust in that. And we need to forget the past. we need to forget when we turn the calendar tomorrow to October 11th. You know, maybe it was a good day, maybe the 10th wasn't, but tomorrow is going to give us a better promise to start over in the Lord. We have to seek God's wisdom. That's another important aspect of all this. I'm referencing Proverbs chapter 24, verse 14. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there's a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Wisdom is defined as quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So there are the three qualities of having wisdom. First, experience. I think as we grow every day in the Lord, as each day we get a little bit older on the calendar, we have that experience. And I find I work with a younger gentleman who sometimes doesn't always think my experience is right. And when I'm directing him, he works under me, and sometimes I have to direct him. And there's been a couple times that my experience is sharing maybe what he should have done, he doesn't follow through on. So, but you know, he has to learn somehow. So I just step back and let him learn, just like I do every day, and we'll take it from there. Knowledge is good, but knowledge can be deadly too. Sometimes we can be too puffed up on it, as Paul writes in his epistles, that too much knowledge just makes us bigger than life, and that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to use his knowledge. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and direct us in his knowledge, what he feels is right. And sometimes we just need to step back, and the knowledge we have that we think we have is maybe not right. But God will actually, if you trust him enough, will give you that knowledge for that circumstance or situation that will just, it'll just show itself. And that's humility. Humility is trusting God's knowledge. And wisdom is also having good judgment. That's always an interesting thing. Everybody has a different view on how they should judge things, given a circumstance. And that goes back to your experience and your knowledge, which leads to judgment. So what we have to look at is the judgment God really wants us to have. Does it line up in the Bible, the situation, or maybe this idea that I have, and is it going to bear fruit? That's the judgment we have to make. And you know what? Sometimes we make a mistake. Sometimes our judgment call isn't what we thought it was going to be, and it goes by the wayside. And maybe God is teaching us a lesson in that. You know, he's just saying, okay, you made a mistake in judging what to do here, but that's okay. He has something that we as humans sometimes lack in, and that's grace. God gives us his unconditional love and mercy at all times to move ahead, and we've really got to remember that. No matter what our judgment call is, and whatever mistake we've made, or we think it's a mistake, or maybe it's a success, it is still God's grace and mercy, giving us the steps to move ahead. So wisdom is sweet like honey. It just tastes good when it's used right. I don't like honey, but that's neither here nor there. But wisdom is also thinking ahead to the future. That's being wise, a wise steward of what's ahead of us, being wise in what we have. And what God has given us for the future to move ahead. So our second element here of moving ahead in God's direction is seeking his wisdom. We forget the past. We can learn from the past. We can enjoy maybe what went on in the past. But we need to forget the past, think about what's going to be for today and what's going to be for tomorrow, and then use God's wisdom of our experience, our knowledge, and judgment in moving ahead. Worrying. I when I was putting this teaching together, I was thinking about worrying. I was thinking about the old Alfred E. Newman phrase from the Mad magazine. Those of us who are of that generation, what me worry. How true that is, because we do at times worry. I'm anxious by nature. If I all of a sudden step into a situation that I think is going to be a bit uncomfortable, or I really don't know how it's going to turn out, I start putting together these different scenarios and how it's going to be completed. My wife's nodding her head because she experiences this many times. I will say, okay, here we go. We'll start with A, B, and C. And this way, the thing will work. Wrong, more times than not. Sometimes it does, though. But that's not a good thing to have. Anxious means being not trusting and leads to anxiety. And Matthew 6:27 reminds us that can any one of you worrying add a single hour to your life? Boy, that speaks volumes, and I need to be reminded of that. I don't think it's a bad thing to worry. I think it's kind of a mechanism to keep us on our toes at times and stay in our game. But you can't predict something that you don't know what's going to happen. And I fall short of that. And I know that I'm going to struggle with that the rest of my life. But I know I have a great God who will walk me through the process. In Philippians 4:6, this is one of my favorite verses when it comes to being anxious and dealing with anxiety. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So when anxious, be thankful. It's interesting, he puts in there, the first thing we need to do when we get anxious is say, okay, God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that, you know, that you have placed me in this situation. Sometimes that's the cry that we have to tell ourselves. But I also know that you will get me through this process by prayer and petition. I think going into prayer is thanking God. Years ago, I went to this meeting, and the person that started the meeting, he wanted to do a prayer chain, I believe he called it. I can't remember what it was, but it was a group of us. And the first thing he said is, we're all going to go around the room, and we're going to thank God. Because that's the first thing we're going to do. And that's just stuck with me to this day. We all went around, and we offered our thanks to God. Then we went into our petitions. And Paul is directing us in this scripture as well. So I think that's a good starting point as we get into that worrying mode, that mode that we think, oh no, what's next and what's ahead with this situation? We stop and we thank God for where he's placed us today. We communicate with him through prayer, and then we bring that petition. We bring that petition, whatever it is, whatever's on your mind before the Lord, and then he walks us ahead. And he gives us that breath of fresh air, if you will. So, a practical application I thought of when worrying, and remind myself of this, is stop in your tracks, breathe, then with a thankful heart, speak to God. And that's where we'll leave worrying today, and we'll leave Alfred E. Newman to take care of the rest about worry. So, the other thing we need to do, the last thing we need to do in all of this is trust in God. That's what it comes down to. Everything that we've talked about, from worrying, from having wisdom, and also forgetting the past, is trusting God. That is the cornerstone of moving ahead, is trusting God. And one of my favorite Proverbs is chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, I reference that many times, and it's just a good proverb. It's one of many that remind us to trust in God first. Trust is defined as the firm belief in the reliability, truth, or strength of someone or something. So I hope that your someone today is God that you're trusting in. That's the reliability, and that's the real truth. And it's not wrong for us to have a person or persons that we have as a trusted friend that we can share our concerns with, or our joys, or our ideas with, and a hopefully somebody who knows the Word of God as well that can sit with you and say, okay, this is what you see, but here's what Word of God says, and the two of you can kind of come together and confirm and affirm what God wants you to do, to trust in him. Our understanding is not what God sees. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Trust is submitting the situation to God and asking for a path that is straight. And God has such a bigger understanding of where we are and where we need to go as a person, as a church, as a family. He knows the steps for us. Remember, he's an all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing God. If we can remember those three attributes, we know that we're on the right step with God. So what is keeping you from moving ahead? These are the questions that I'm asking myself, and I'm just sharing with you this morning. Are you anxious about the end result? Yes, and yes, and yes. I think we all fall into that. I've run into people, they seem very relaxed and easygoing, and it doesn't seem like anything bothers them, but I'm sure there's something in them, and I often like to say, boy, I like to mirror myself after them. But I don't know what's inside them either. So God has made me to worry about me and let him worry about me. And he'll take care of the other person and the rest. You know, and as I mentioned, God has already measured our steps. We have to believe that God created us. He knew exactly when we were to be born, what family we're to be a part of, what our steps are along the way to return home to heaven with him. So we have to know that he's all-knowing. And we just got to take it day to day. And sometimes when the bumps in the road come, we have to remind ourselves that, you know, we're going to get through it. We've got to go back to that trust factor and let him do some of the worrying for us and maybe forget the past, the bad thing that he's going to move us ahead in. Maybe God wants you to stay where you are. You know, we think of direction. We think of moving ahead. Sometimes it's you want to just pull up the stakes and go. And that might not always be the case. Sometimes God has us planted wherever it may be, whether it be a community we live in, a job situation, or our church family. You know, God has a reason for you to move ahead where he has planted you. And you have to ask him for that knowledge. You have to ask him for that wisdom. And he'll show you. Maybe something comes up in church where they need a volunteer to do something, and all of a sudden God is prodding you to say, okay, this is something you can do for me to honor me in your church. Simple stuff like that, just staying put. We need to read God's word daily. You know, we hear it from the pulpit all the time. You know, Pastor Dick reminds us that's our starting point, is reading the word of God each day. Finding the promises there that are earthly, or not earthly, but eternal in heaven. And more than anything else, do you have right relationship with Jesus? That's where it starts. It starts with you knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you trust him? Do you want him to forgive you of your sins for what he did at the cross for us? Going back to the fall of man, in chapter 3 of Genesis, when Adam and Eve would not obey. That's what it came down to. And then God had to do something, so he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and we are to trust in Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. He is our mediator in heaven, and he is going to help us, if we have right relationship with him, direct us the way we want to go and all the things I spoke about. And that's the one thing I ask if you're in this room today or you're watching us online, if you don't know Jesus today, ask him. Ask him to come into your life and to forgive you and to move you ahead and to make him the leader in your life. I can tell you that's what true hope is. So I just pray for that for you today if you don't know him. You know, as I'm concluding here, one thing I was thinking about is how complicated our society is today, which leads to discouragement. I had quite a discussion with a pastor friend of mine this week about discouragement. I mean, the man, even though he had a smile on his face, he said he's very discouraged. And it's just not him. There's a core of his ministry peers that are getting together this afternoon, another location here in Central New York, just to have a time of building each other up. Because each of them, you know, during the course of this last year and a half, have really been discouraged in a number of ways, you know, everything from church attendance to church family involvement, and just people not interested in being a part of the church family. And I like what Anthony said this morning, we are a church family. We need to be together. That will stop that discouragement. That will build each other up. We see each other present, you know, on a Sunday morning or a home group. So that's the one thing that's going to help us move ahead, is to avoid being discouraged. And we have to work within ourselves and pray with each other to build each other up so we aren't discouraged. We have to be united, just united in Christ together, like-minded, as it says in the scriptures. That is the big step, I think, at moving ahead. I mean, I had a lot of different points here, a lot of biblical references. But it starts with us coming together as the Church of Jesus Christ and just moving ahead and working together, looking for opportunities to serve in our local church body, and always praying for our church leaders daily, and praying that they won't be discouraged, that they can move ahead. So I pray that all of us today can look at tomorrow, October 11th, as the new day we're going to move ahead in Jesus. And forget about what happened today, even though it was a good experience. Remember, tomorrow is going to bring us something much better in the Lord. I'm going to ask Bill and Kate to come back. They're going to sing one worship song, and Bill will close the meeting. And I just pray that we be strong in Christ today and move ahead. Amen.